It's time for another episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur.
Now, right. You know, these photos, one of the reasons why I got into this style of photography is because, a few years back, my grandmother had passed away and my aunt sent over this package all the way from Japan, and it arrived at my parents' place in Toronto. I just happened to be visiting them, you know, when this package arrived, and she's taking out all this memorabilia, jewelry, you know, so on. And then she pulls out this one thing, and it was...
This is your grandma? Who lived in Japan?
Yes, my grandmother had passed away, and so my aunt has shipped over a lot of stuff, you know, that belonged to my mother.
Got it.
So my mother is opening up this box and taking out all these items, and she takes out one thing, and I could tell she was
a little emotional.
And we open it up, and it's a portrait of my mother. And she had, over 50 years ago, she had the whole makeover. She's wearing her favorite kimono, which she still owns to this day. And it's the most beautiful portrait I've ever seen of my mother. And, you know, she got emotional because it was the year that she left Japan to start a new life in Canada.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, she didn't want to have this portrait taken. She didn't like taking photos. But, you know, there's all these stories. And we just sat there for an hour talking about this. And now I have this portrait, you know, that I can treasure for the rest of my life.
Right.
And so, you know.
Were you already in photography at that point?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I also try and educate my clients on the importance of, like, printing your photos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, otherwise this photo would
just
have never would have never traveled overseas
and
arrived in Canada, you know, for me to have. So,
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
I'm Celestina Ando, contemporary portrait photographer with a studio in Montclair, New Jersey. I love working with clients who feel that they're not photogenic and creating empowering experiences for them.
All right, so Celestina, thanks so much for driving all the way down here to Clark and a meeting with me today. We're going to talk about your photography studio and all that you do in photography. You take beautiful photographs. We'll put the link to your website on the show notes so people can see all your stuff. But why don't we go back and talk about your background, where you're from, because I believe you're from Canada, right?
Yes, I am. And thank you so much for having me, Mitch.
I appreciate it. Appreciate you coming down here.
Really appreciate being here. Yes, I'm originally from Toronto, born and raised, and I studied accounting and finance in school. So
in Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Went to the University of Toronto, graduated from there, and it wasn't until 2002 that I moved to New Jersey.
Okay.
With an ex of mine.
Okay.
Yes.
He wasn't an ex then.
Not an ex then.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So you majored in finance in order to become a photographer, right?
No, that was not. Being a photographer was never part of my original plan. I worked in accounting and finance for almost 20 years.
And you had your CPA designation too?
Correct.
Okay.
I had my Canadian CPA designation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you worked in Canada.
I did. I worked in Canada for probably about 3 to 4 years, and then I moved out here in 2002, continued working here in accounting and finance. I worked in the automotive industry for a few years for Mercedes-Benz, and then I worked for Calvin Klein in New York for almost 10 years.
Fashion.
Yes.
But all accounting.
Accounting, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go along. What happened with the whole photography thing? Was it always an interest of yours, or...?
It was always an interest of mine, even though I didn't own any DSLR cameras at the time either. I just loved to take photos. And,
right.
And it was just something I was interested in, and I wanted to try something new. And I found this local small school, Photo Manhattan in New York, which was close to my office. And I ended up showing up at class, still not owning a DSLR camera, just to check it out and
okay.
see what it would be like. Loved it. And just started from there.
So you took that class and then...
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm a little bit of a photography enthusiast.
Okay.
So for people listening, I believe DSLR stands for what? Digital single lens reflex,
correct.
Right? Because you're actually looking through the lens when you're taking a picture,
correct.
As opposed to those terrible cameras in the old days when you wouldn't look through the lens. Or I guess even on your cell phone, you're kind of looking through the lens, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not that strong in the technical side of things, but... Yeah, even point-and-shoot cameras. So.
Yeah, you're looking right through mm-hmm. the lens.
Correct.
Okay, but the digital is really what kind of changed the whole business because you don't have to have a dark room, you don't have to work with a developer.
Right.
All that kind of stuff.
I never studied that type of photography. I went straight into digital right away. So.
Yeah. Well, it was
yes.
the right time to do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess there's still some really, I don't know, enthusiasts who develop their own. I mean, can you get film online now, I think.
Yes,
do they sell
absolutely.
It in the store?
Oh, no, absolutely.
No.
There
yeah.
are professional photographers who have actually gone back to film because
oh.
there's just some things with the tone and
that
color
you can
and
do
saturation
and,
that
yeah.
you just can't capture.
Digitally.
With, yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of photographers that I even know that have gone back to film and offer that as a service.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. All right, so let's talk about it because you do have a finance background, right? So that's good for business. To be
yes.
able to manage your business, but you weren't in business before. This is your first business. We were talking off mic that you are like the accidental entrepreneur. You were doing something, and you're like, I don't like this, and you fell in love with photography, and
I
you
did.
Made it a business. People can just make it a hobby, right? You could have stayed as a CPA,
right?
Just going to work and doing photography as a hobby, but you didn't do that.
Right. I was an enthusiast for a while. Definitely kept up my... I went to that school for a few years, taking different courses. And
just doing your own photography.
Correct.
Okay.
And they had like a student exhibition there.
Yeah.
And that was the time when I just felt like, wow, like this is such a beautiful experience and having people come and view your work and just seeing how... people perceive or you know understand your work in different ways and so on and I love that, so I continued with it. I was dancing also a lot at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so through the dance community there was always events and two friends of mine, Christina Piedra and Juan Calderon, they were salsa instructors and they hired me,
okay.
you know, quite a few times to do some event photography and that's
okay.
kind of where
how
it
you got started.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to just like wake up one morning and say, I like taking pictures and you're
right,
just going to go out
and
get jobs.
Trying to get jobs.
What kind of dance do you do? My daughter's a big dancer.
Oh, really?
She goes to a studio out in Greenbrook, I think.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. No, it was, it's Latin dancing.
Oh,
so
okay.
salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that at her studio.
Yeah.
Her studio is like, you know, modern dance, jazz,
right.
ballet. She loves tap.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Okay, so that makes sense. So you were kind of in that world. So, by the way, when you went to these classes, what school was this at?
It was a small...
Just a little...
Yeah, it was a small school. It was called Photo Manhattan. And
okay.
it was really great because, you know, you work on these assignments and it's super intimidating to have to, like, bring your work and have it critiqued by
right.
your peers and your teacher. But I think that experience was so helpful. And, you know, just... one of the photography teachers there, Imbal Sivan, she's still a wedding photographer today. She's
okay.
not here in New York anymore, but I would meet with her regularly and just learn about how she started her wedding photography business. And so through, you know, getting mentors and
right, that's
going
a good
online
way to get started,
and studying
right?
and through all of that, that's how my business started.
And then, so then you were doing, well, I guess it wasn't an event that, well, were you photographing the like salsa competitions or
parties?
It was
social gatherings
yeah.
and different events, and so I was taking those photos. So back then I was very much a shoot and burn photographer, you know,
right.
just taking the photos and delivering the digitals. And so that's how that started. And through that community, I got one of my first weddings. And then just through referrals and people having different needs.
They like your stuff. And yeah.
And of course, back then I was not charging very much either.
Right.
Well. So as a photo enthusiast, you're able to like really work on your portfolio and you know, create some images that you like. And then I started putting a website together. And so that was the start of my business.
And is that kind of photography like more challenging because you're on your feet running around? It's your eye. You got to catch things while the event's going on. And
It definitely keeps you on your feet. It's there's so many different styles of wedding. Even within wedding photography, there's so many different styles. But yes, you know, weddings can definitely be a very long day and very challenging on your body. And yeah. So that's why I actually
switched
retired.
To portrait.
Right.
You said just recently you did your last wedding, right?
Correct. Yeah, just a few weeks ago.
You just decided not doing it.
Well, I decided a while back, and now I just offer wedding portrait services, so I don't do events.
Okay.
Yes, I moved over into the portrait photography.
Okay, and I saw on your website, it's not all in a studio. Sometimes you're out mm-hmm. on location in a park or wherever you're, mm-hmm. or maybe in a place.
Right. So when it comes to portraits, I offer headshots, personal branding for business owners.
Okay.
I offer family portraits in studio on location, maternity also in studio on location. But what I really specialize in is photographing women, uh-huh. and especially when it comes to contemporary glamour and boudoir.
Yeah. So. Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I saw a lot of that on your website.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a studio. It's in Montclair, right?
Yes.
That's where we had originally met. And we met in Clifton, I think.
We met.
My sister lives in Montclair, so I remembered you in Montclair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We met at a networking gathering
right.
at the Shannon Rose in Clifton.
Oh, right. The Shannon Rose. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yes.
Okay. So it's interesting because a lot of like artsy businesses, right? Not just photography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the art person and there's the business person. A lot of times the people that are the creative types, they don't have a background in business and finance, but you kind of do, right? Maybe more so finance than business, but
right. The 20 years that I had working in accounting and finance, definitely I gained so much experience from there, and you know, everything from, you know, whether it's customer service, communication, of course, bookkeeping, you know,
right.
that kind of stuff that I'm able to do on my own for my business. So definitely had a really strong foundation from that perspective. And so, you know, but once you become an entrepreneur, and I actually had my photography business as a part-time
right, you were able
business,
to transition into it.
And
right?
I had myself on this five-year plan, and after the 5 years is when I decided to retire my finance career and do it full-time.
Right, but you had a goal in mind, right?
Yes.
I'm going to ease into this.
I'm a planner.
Yeah.
I'm very much a Capricorn.
Now, did you ever write a business plan, or not really? It was really more of a...
Not really.
Yeah.
I think it all, and I didn't, you know, even though I was on this five-year plan, I didn't necessarily think that it would exactly happen after
right,
5 years.
Course.
It just somehow aligned where there were a lot of things going on in my life at that time, and it just came to a point in my accounting career as well where I felt like, okay, you know, I think I've done as much as I can.
Right, so. Right. And what do you, and... So as an entrepreneur, like you said, what do you find to be the most challenging on a daily basis in terms of running your business? Is it finding business, or you really had trouble with that?
The first few years, definitely.
Okay.
You know, finding, networking a lot. I was putting myself out there. You're wearing so many different hats.
Right.
Especially because I'm a solopreneur. You know,
right.
I don't
like
have a team
of
people,
sure.
you know, supporting me. So although I do have freelancers, I have makeup and hair artists that freelance with me.
Right.
But, you know, they're not my assistants. They're not helping me. So I am, you know, I'm responsible for sales and marketing.
Right.
And
you're doing,
you know,
you're putting your stuff together and
exactly.
the website. You have somebody do your website, or you mostly do that yourself?
I do it myself.
Yeah, sure.
I like to.
You want to have hands on, right?
Creative
have it
control.
Your kind of, right. Of course. Well, you want it to have your look and feel. Sometimes
yes.
it's hard when, you know, as a lawyer, so I'm not a, uh-huh. my sister is a graphic designer, if
right.
you remember,
I met
so
her.
She's has all those skills. But in terms of like what I want it to look like and what I want it to do, it's hard for me to translate that and explain. You got to explain it again. No, that's what I mean. Can you do this? Can you do that? Oh, well, we can do this.
Right.
So it's hard to do that. When I started doing the podcasting, for example, I wanted to learn all of the production side of it. Now, at some point, we'll get busy enough. Maybe I'll hire somebody to help me with it or whatever. But I've gotten to the point where I can do most of the editing and stuff myself because I wanted it to sound a certain way.
Right.
And I wanted to know, like, what are the options? What are the possibilities in terms of creating a podcast and you know, things like that? Same,
right.
I guess, with the web is in terms of, you know, you want it, your website has a certain look and feel. If anybody goes to your website, it's what's your website? Is it CelestinaAndo.com? Easy. A-N-D-O. And we'll put that in the show notes. But I think from a layperson, if you go to your website, I'm saying when I went to your website, it has a certain look and feel that kind of comes through in terms of, like, I think when you look at your work online, I think you pretty much get a good feeling for your style and the kind of, like, photographs you take and your eye and stuff like that, you know?
Thank you for sharing that with me. That's definitely my goal.
Yeah.
Because every photographer has
feedback helps,
a different style.
Yeah.
There's so many photographers, even in just the town of Montclair.
Right.
And I've gotten to know quite a few of them. And if people come in and I feel like my style is not what they're looking for, I'd be happy to refer them to other photographers
who have a different style than you.
Exactly.
Do. Sure.
So that's really important. And so whenever anybody reaches out to me, I always tell them, you know, I ask them, you know, whether they've seen my website, because it's
right.
really important.
Yeah, because they get a feel for what they're getting into. And maybe, look, everybody has a different eye or a different feel for what
right.
they do. And your stuff's beautiful, but, you know, it's not for everybody, I guess, right?
Correct.
Some people want to know differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the business side of what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're... One of the advantages, I guess, nowadays is that you don't have to worry about film and developing and inventory and things like that, because a digital camera, I guess, beyond memory, yeah, there's a lot of room in the device, right, to take, I guess, thousands of pictures if you're at an event. You don't have to stop and switch, not anymore.
Not anymore,
right.
Yes.
So it makes it a lot
storage
easier.
Storage devices have gotten a lot bigger, got more reliable. My camera bodies, there's actually two slots, so I could have like a backup slot so that, you know, memory cards.
Right, memory cards, sure.
As a photographer, we don't want to lose our clients' images either and have any issues with the files. So, yes.
Does that stuff automatically go to the cloud from your device, or not really?
No, there's definitely cameras that have that capability. I'm still a little old school that way. I hook it up to my computer and it goes straight into, because I use so many different photography editing softwares.
Right, so you want it on the machine itself.
Yes, yeah. I do still do it locally on my desktop.
Are you using PC or Mac?
Mac.
So most of the people in your industry use Mac. I know graphic design they do, so.
Yes, I think that's really
like,
common.
Yeah, that's much more common.
Yeah, I used to be PC from my accounting days.
But you can do more
so hard
on the Mac,
control.
Right?
Yes, I don't use the PC anymore.
Yeah, my wife has a Mac. She insists on having an Apple laptop. I have to help her with things. I can't figure anything out.
Right.
Because the interface is totally different.
It's a little different.
The way you do things. Okay. So in terms of the business side of photography, we were talking more. So I always like to kind of give advice to people.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been in business now for how many years?
After
the five-year plan ended.
Okay. I've had my studio now for almost 3 years.
Okay.
It'll be 3 years in April.
Okay. And if somebody were getting started, let's say just for your business right now, so in photography or something in the industry of some sort, like what kind of advice would you give them in terms of mistakes you think you made or things you wish you did differently? Or because I know you're a planner, you said you were, in terms of that types of things, what kind of things would you say?
I think you have to network.
Okay.
I think you have to build relationships, especially with business owners in your community. I think you need to really think outside the box and just find ways to get exposure and to be able to give back. Also, that's really important to me.
Like get your work published, for example? Is that type of stuff or not really?
Well, for example, I actually had two photography exhibits.
Okay.
And
where'd you do those?
The first one was at the Trend Gallery in Montclair.
Okay.
And then the second one was at the Montclair Women's Club.
Oh, nice.
And I partnered with a nonprofit that I am actually now a board member of, Save of Essex County. It stands for Sexual Assault and Violence Education. And my photography exhibits were called Empower. And,
oh, very good.
Because of what I love to do to empower women. And there was a lot of things going on at the time with the Time's Up and Me Too movements.
Uh-huh, so sure, right.
My exhibits were based on those.
So it was very timely.
Yes. And so getting involved with the community, networking, building relationships, collaborating, also getting mentors.
Right. I always tell people that advisors, people that you respect, people that have been in the business a longer time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that is so crucial. I wish I got the mentor piece a little bit earlier, but
How did you meet? How many mentors do you work with? A few that you stay in touch with? Are photographers?
Yes.
Okay.
So these are photographers. They're not necessarily people that I meet with in person. A lot of it's online. A lot of it is through the community. Once you connect with people in your industry, I think it's so important to be able to share ideas and business practices and lessons learned and, you know, build relationships with people that you feel you can trust and find accountability partners, So that has been really helpful and, you know, just going on, you know, different experiences too. I had to you got to invest in your business and invest in yourself. And I treated myself to a photography workshop in Italy.
Wow.
In, I think, 2018.
That's where we went on our honeymoon.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, long, you know, so 20 beautiful. Some odd years ago. Italy's beautiful. Were you in the north or the south or all throughout?
I was an hour away from Venice.
Yeah. The whole area, Tuscany and all that upper north area is very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you must have took some beautiful photographs.
Yeah, it was 25 photographers.
Okay.
We were shooting in a castle.
All from the United States?
No, all over the
world. All the world. Wow, that's even more exciting because then you make connections everywhere.
Yeah. And
so you say you were shooting in a castle. So all the photography was done in this castle?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
like from
awesome.
The 1400s or something like that, right? An old village.
Oh my goodness, I wish I could remember the name of it, but you know, you roll up, you know, it's on the top of this mountain. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, investing in those types of experiences and building relationships and so on, all of this is just so important. You know,
is there an online community for? Oh, I'm sure there is. I just don't know what it's called, like LinkedIn, but a photography community where people.
Yes,
interact
a lot
online?
Of them are on Facebook.
Okay, like Facebook groups and things like that?
Yeah,
okay.
The ones that I'm involved with. And there's just a lot of great education communities. You know, I think now there are so many photographers, for example, that have like online education systems on their own websites, you know. And so just connecting with, for me, you know, with what I do, finding mentors whose style I connected with.
Right,
and,
sure.
You know, so, but yes, all of those things were so important, you know, in the beginning while still working on my craft and, you know, building the foundation for my business and all the processes and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Like, yeah. I think there's a good point that you made because when you were talking at the beginning, you said that one of the things you like to do is, I forget how you said it, but you basically, you're interested in empowering women. So mm-hmm. some of the photography you're doing is focusing on that.
Yes.
So I think that differentiates you in the marketplace, especially in today's world with everything going on with women and the changes and the, you know, Time's Up and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it is a timely, a hot topic, but it's something that's passionate to you. So it kind of comes through in your work. And I think maybe that's true for any profession, but I think that when you have a business, you do need to differentiate yourself in terms of, you know, just because you're a photographer doesn't make you different than the next person down the street, just a different style. But I think if you're in a niche, you like almost created a niche for yourself. I mean, how many women are in photography and kind of focusing on that?
There are a lot of photographers out there that do that.
Okay.
But yes, you know, for me with photography, it's just as much as important of creating this really awesome experience for my clients as much as the end product.
Right.
So it's just really awesome to have women who are absolutely terrified to have their photos taken,
right,
who tell me that they sat in their car for half an hour contemplating whether to cancel, you know, the
really?
Session.
That's funny.
But then, you know, to spend 3 hours.
But I guess that's
me.
Reality, right? People are nervous,
yes,
about things. They don't want to be on camera. They don't want to see,
yes,
themselves.
Yes.
Right? I get people that don't want to come on the podcast. They don't want to hear themselves. I say, well,
right,
you don't have to listen.
Okay.
You know? So,
right,
so some of it's a little therapeutic. Like you're like talking them out of the car sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
This particular client eventually came in.
Okay.
And she spent 3 hours with me. She had the whole makeover, the portrait session. And then she left my studio with her chin high, feeling like she could take on the world.
Yeah. I mean, you improved her self-esteem, right?
You know. And then when they come back to see their portraits, that's the best part.
Yeah.
And when I get some of those tears, you know, it's just this instant gratification, this... You
like
know,
that's why you do it, right?
And that's why you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's what drives you to the next one,
mm-hmm,
to do for the next people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. That's why I think it's photography is, I don't know, it just like catches people's essence, but
mm-hmm,
not everybody can do that. You know, like people in your business, like you, and I can see from your website, people can see you have a certain eye for what it is that you're looking at, but the same person, I mean, not the same person, another person standing next to you with the same camera would take a totally different photograph. It's just,
mm-hmm,
it's something about, there's this gentleman, I don't know if you know him, his name is Omar. He does a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs and weddings and Gonzalez, I think is the last
name. Oh, okay, I think
know?
I have heard.
Anyway, he did, well, we didn't know him for my son, but he did my daughter's weddings.
Okay.
At weddings. Yeah, bite my tongue.
Yeah,
bat mitzvahs. Oh, boy. Yeah, so my older daughter's going to be a senior in high school.
Aww.
And the little one's going into ninth grade. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
My wife will hear that. And he took us for the first one. So he wanted to do some photographs before, like pre-party photographs, you know,
right,
that she could post online,
right,
make part of her invitations, I guess, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he took us into the West Village,
okay,
on a Sunday morning.
All right.
There was nobody on the street.
Right.
Luckily, the weather was like perfect, you
right
know. And we took, you know, photographs in interesting doorways and
uh-huh
with graffiti and
uh-huh
on the streets. And,
awesome,
you know, it was just really... It was like a cool experience, you
right
know? We had to like change in an alleyway or inside the car. I forget how we did it. We didn't have
okay
anywhere to change.
Okay.
And, you know, he spent a couple hours with us and she got these photographs that she has now that are like, yeah, I think like empowered her. Like she has these stern looks standing next to, I don't remember what it was, Michael Kors store,
uh-huh,
Ralph Lauren and things
uh-huh
like that. And
uh-huh
she, you know, she really, I think it really made her feel good
uh-huh
at the party when these
right
photos were, you know, posted up or however they did online or on a screen or something.
Right. And just imagine how special these photographs will be when she looks at them 10
yeah
years, 20 years from now.
Right.
You know, these photos, one of the reasons why I got into this style of photography is because, you know, a few years back, my grandmother had passed away and my aunt sent over this package all the way from Japan and it arrived at my parents' place in Toronto. I just happened
okay
to be visiting them, you know, when this package arrived. And she's taking out all this memorabilia, jewelry, you know, so on. And then she pulls out this one thing and it was...
This is your grandma? Who lived in Japan?
Yes, my grandmother had passed away. And so my aunt has shipped over a lot of stuff, you know, that belonged to my mother.
Got it.
So my mother is opening up this box and taking out all these items. And she takes out one thing and I could tell she was
a little emotional.
About it,
yeah.
And we open it up and it's a portrait of my mother. And she had, over 50 years ago, she had the whole makeover. She's wearing her favorite kimono, which she still owns to this day. And it's the most beautiful portrait I've ever seen of my mother. And, you know, she got emotional because it was the year that she left Japan to start a new life in Canada.
Oh,
and,
wow,
you know, she didn't want to have yeah this portrait taken. She didn't like taking photos. But, you know, there's all these stories. And we just sat there for an hour talking about this. And now I have this portrait, you know, know that I can treasure for the rest of my life.
Right.
And so, you know,
it's, were you already in photography at that point?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I also try and educate my clients on the importance of like printing your photos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, otherwise this photo would
just
have never
sits somewhere, yeah.
would have never traveled overseas
right.
and arrived in Canada, you know, for me to have. So yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is one of the problems with digital photography as an amateur. Mm-hmm. You take all these photographs with your phone mm-hmm. and they're in the cloud and you don't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think we use iMemories, but it's, you know, our cloud storage because all these mm-hmm. pictures. Mm-hmm. So when we had my son, who's now in college, we had a Sony digital camera. It took the little discs.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those little
right.
3.5?
Right.
And you'd take like 10 pictures and the disc would pop out because
right.
it was full.
Right.
And then we'd end up with this huge box of discs. We didn't know what to do with all
right.
of them. And in those days, I guess there was a place you could go and you could plug them in. And yeah, but you have to go through them and print them all out.
Mm-hmm.
One time we had to print like 1,000 pictures. We didn't have these photographs anymore and we didn't have the digital cloud
mm-hmm.
where you keep this stuff. But nobody sees the photographs because they're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
In the cloud, and I think I don't know if that's a like that's over there's a digital frame, you know, one of
right.
those things.
Right.
I don't know. You gotta
right.
you put them on your TV.
Yeah, you know, I still have clients that reach out to me from years back when I was just doing digital, asking if I still have their maternity photos.
Really,
or
because
other,
they can't
because they lost them
Ugh.
Or the files have gone bad
yeah.
or you know for whatever reason and. You know, it happens, and as you start accumulating more and more and thousands of more
yeah.
images, you know, it's just hard to keep track of where everything is. So
I'm sure it's a lot of data. I mean, I have 100 gig in the cloud. They're all Word files. They're all,
oh, okay.
there's no, you know, graphic files. It probably takes up a lot of
right.
space.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so you store that in a cloud? Facility?
I can't keep all of my clients' images, unfortunately, because yes, it would just
too
get
big.
Way too costly.
Yeah.
So I hold them for a certain period of time, but you know, these are clients from years and years back, you know.
And you didn't have their
No, I didn't. So some of these photos, you know, that captured, you know, like a maternity portrait
right.
session of your first child.
And she had never printed it out. She didn't.
So, you know, things like that happen. So
right.
I always try and educate my clients in printing and most of what I do is I offer portrait products anyways
okay.
now. So
right, so you
yeah.
are printing them for them or you're getting them framed or that's up to them?
So I have photography labs kind of all over in Europe and also here in the US where I source
that
my
you,
portrait
that you
portraits.
Like, that you have relationships
yes.
with? Okay, what makes you pick like a lab, one lab over another?
Well, you know, this one lab in Italy, for example, they handcraft all of their products.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really beautiful products, and I actually got to go to their facility when I went to this castle
yeah,
workshop in
right.
Italy 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I got to see everything in person and see how things were made and what kind of materials and so on. So I partner with them and then a few labs here in the U.S. You know, all archival, really great, high-end. Beautiful products.
Yeah, so you get really high quality printing.
Yes.
And not just printing off some laser printer.
No, they're
yeah.
archival.
Yeah.
So they'll last for over 100 years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So is that because of the machine that it's made with or how it's done or the chemicals that are used? Like what makes it last
definitely
100
years? The printing
okay.
and the paper, everything.
Okay.
Everything.
So that
yeah.
goes into the,
correct.
It's into the final product. And then who's doing the framing?
So I have a frame company okay. that I source as well, and they are based here in the U.S.
Okay.
And so, but, you know, framing, I give my clients the option. They could either frame it themselves, and I have a select few of frames that I offer as well from
right.
my
life. Or they could go to a local
exactly.
framer. And yeah, there's one in Westfield that's pretty, that's been around, I think, second or third generation.
Okay.
A long time. But sometimes the framing costs more than the
yes.
the photograph.
Yes.
Okay, so where do we leave off? We're talking about business and no, but you
advice.
Gave some really good advice. Yeah, advice. Well, you gave good advice in terms of the networking and the marketing and the building your business. That's really true for, you know, for any business. And because if you have no customers, then what's the point of all the other stuff?
Right.
You know, it's funny. I think in some businesses, because I'm a big proponent of business plans and planning and and, you know, not something from Harvard with, you know, graphs and charts and all kinds of stuff. It can just be a simple working document. But I think you had said before you're a planner, that kind of is your business plan. So people that plan, and there's some businesses that need more formal business plans because mm-hmm. the business is complex, the financials are more complex, they mm-hmm. may have production and materials and employees and all kinds of things that go into making the business operate. And then when you're a solopreneur, even in my solo practice, we don't need the kind of staff or, you know, or supplies or anything like that that other businesses need. So we might not need as complicated, but I think your point about being a planner is important.
Yes, and I think I don't speak about the numbers side so much because right. I guess because I'm just so comfortable with it yeah. and that was my background. But, you know, you definitely have to calculate your nut, you know, figure out what you need to earn, you know, in the month to cover your expenses. Right. So there are those basics as well that sure. you just definitely need to put in place and make sure that you're achieving those types of goals, those short-term goals.
But in our businesses, a lot of it's your time, really, is what they're paying mm-hmm. for. So it's really like how much, you know, and when you started out, like you said, you charged less because you were looking mm-hmm. to get a following, and but mm-hmm. it may not have been the hourly rate or the per job rate that you wanted.
Right.
But you got to work up to that. But somebody right. else who might have cost of goods and materials, mm-hmm. they can be careful. If they don't price the product well, they might be losing money. Mm-hmm. They don't even realize it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've been together, what, like 35 minutes or something? I don't have my glasses on. I can't see anything.
It's 3:10.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it goes fast.
It goes fast.
So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, uh-huh. we mentioned your website. We'll put it in the show notes, right? Uh-huh. CelestinaAndo.com, mm-hmm. right? And what did you want to tell people your email or your cell phone, or you put that on the website? How do people get a hold? Like, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
There are so many ways. I get a lot of clients through Instagram, through Facebook.
Okay.
It's just Celestina Ando.
They want to see your work. It's there too, not just your.
Yes.
Not just the web. Website.
And you know, my business number, my email, everything is on my website as well. They can. There's a contact form sheet where they can fill out and it's through this program that I use, 17 Hats, that gives me a text right away when someone contacts
oh, okay.
me through my website.
You find you get leads through the web?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And I also have the chat
right.
app on
people
my...
Right, people can chat with you.
Yes, and that's actually just through Facebook. It's such a simple
and it pops up on your phone and you can...
paste HTML code.
Yeah.
Yes, and yeah, and I get notified on my phone right away And so there's so many different ways that I get contacted, and I try to make myself available on all these different platforms.
Of course, you don't want to miss it. Now, do you find that, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, do you find that a lot of people are referred to you and then they go through the web and then maybe they contact you, or do they find you on their own?
So in the beginning, my business was probably 80% referrals and then 20% social media, Google inquiries, Yelp.
Right.
Now I'd say it's about 60% referrals and 40%, you know, I think it's
like reputation's building and people are learning about your business.
I think so. And I think my SEO is improving,
okay.
you
yeah.
know, with
that's a lot of work all the time, right?
In Montclair.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really try, you know, to get my website and the Google reviews and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's so much that you have to do.
So much.
Being
it never stops.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me crazy. It does, because it always seems like, and I guess this is just the reality of it, the
right.
algorithm's always one step ahead of you.
Right.
So as soon as you do something to improve where you are,
right.
they change it.
Right.
And you have to kind of keep up with, it's just a moving target.
Right.
You know?
Adjusting certain things. Like I just found out this week that Facebook, you know, if you post something, because I post images a lot.
Sure.
And I always used to include my website in
right.
the post and the write-up. But if you do that, that drops you a little lower.
Yeah, because
on the algorithm.
That takes them away from Facebook. LinkedIn started doing the same
yeah.
thing. So if you post on LinkedIn
yeah.
and you put a link to wherever you're going, they mm-hmm. figure, oh, well, we don't want to show things that take you away mm-hmm. from our environment. Well, mm-hmm. it makes sense.
Right.
So then how do you... So I was told in LinkedIn a good way to do it is you post and then in the comments or
correct.
Something.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the same thing. So it's the same trick. Yeah.
Know.
But they'll figure that out then
right.
too, and something
right.
else will change. And then
right.
you'll have to...
I know, and you have to keep on top of these things, unfortunately.
Right.
And so...
Especially in your business, it's such a... you know, it's such a visual business.
Yes.
People see what you do. It's harder as a lawyer. You know, I'm rebuilding my website now and you go and it's nice and everything, but is it going to make people do business with me? I don't know. It's going to teach them about some stuff. It'll teach them about what I do. We're building an automated section where people can go if you need a basic contract or a non-compete or, you know, a vendor agreement or even a will. You can go if you're willing to put the time in and put the information in. It'll send me a document basically complete. I have to clean it up, but it'll be at, you know, 2/3 of the price or in some cases half the price
right. That
I normally charge.
Right.
Because it makes it easier for me and it's easier for you and the business owner. But beyond that, you know, it's hard to do business as a professional through the internet besides it being a billboard of what you do. I can't really, you know, I don't show pictures of your will online. Look at this. Look how beautiful this is. It doesn't,
right. But
you know, when people.
But I guess through doing things like this, Mitch, and
this
you
helps.
Know, blogging.
Absolutely,
and sharing
right. More
about how you do things. And, you know, I'm trying to do a little bit more about that as well this year, you know, just not just trying to, you know, post photos, but
writing things about.
And having people engage with you. Like whenever
sure. I
share a photo of myself, for example, and share a story about myself, like I get so much more engagement.
Yeah.
Like I might get like 300 likes on Instagram versus the 100 that I get, you know, by just sharing regular
right. Images.
Yeah,
so, because you're resonating with people, right?
And connecting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, connecting.
And that leads to business because people become comfortable with you. They like your
right. Story.
They keep up with you. And they're like, well, why would
I know you?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's important. So I'm trying to do more of that on the legal side. So we'll see where that develops. All right. So if you, first of all, I'm always looking for more guests. So if you ever have.
If you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at beinlaw33@gmail.com. That's beinlaw33@gmail.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur has been written, directed, and produced by Mitchell Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.